thankful for everybody that is here. I know it's hard to travel. I usually say this, it's hard to travel in this eon. It's going to be a lot easier to travel in the next eon. Many of you came up 294 or 94. I was praying for everybody, really, because I've been to Chicago twice in the last 4 months driving, and it's really tough to travel in this eon. By the grace of God, I flew this time. And I was thinking, it was really interesting, as the plane was taxiing, those planes, they're not meant to be on the ground, and they're bouncing around and squeaking, you know. And you realize, oh my gosh, I'm in a machine. This isn't a miracle vehicle. This is a machine that people is squeaking and bouncing. But then, as soon as those wheels leave the ground, it's doing what it was meant to do. And I feel like a being that's not supposed to be on this ground. Our realm is inherent in the heavenlies. We're not in our sphere. You know, we are not earthly people having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual people having earthly experiences. This is foreign territory for us. That's one reason I like to fly, besides I don't have to get on the 294. Don Bass and I were talking earlier about flying. He and someone else, they have dreams that they're flying. And I said, are you in an airplane in that dream? No, we're flying without the airplane. I want to read to you a passage from our apostle. And, well, I'm just going to read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 15. We the living who are surviving Interstate 94, no, wait a minute, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I shared this with someone. I pointed this verse out to them, and they said, I wonder what Paul means by that. And I said, Mike, what if he means exactly what he says? This reads like science fiction, doesn't it? We the living, and this is the scriptures, this is the declaration of God, who survived through the coming of the Lord, we are going to be snatched away together with those who have died in Christ at the same time. Paul is dead in Christ. We're not going to join him. And he's going to say, oh, too bad you weren't here back in 17. Boy, we had a great time. Death is a miracle in that it's the great equalizer. And we're all going to come into this glory together. Mr. A. E. Nock, the Apostle Paul, Timothy, some wonderful people. It's not going to be like A. E. Nock and say, boy, in 67 we were having a good time. We're all going to be seeing it at the same time. Christ is going to come for Paul and he's going to be shocked. This is going to be shock therapy to suddenly be delivered from gravity. And from all these, and Don and I were talking and we're looking at each other and we looked tired, didn't we? And we thought all the strain and the stress of living and getting here, we're being set up, folks. You're being set up for an amazing, stunning contrast. And our Apostle Paul expected his Savior to come for him in his lifetime. I really believe he did, up until the time he writes 2 Timothy. We the living, we who are surviving. And isn't it interesting, we think we have to be heroes? We who are surviving. If you're surviving, you qualify. We who are surviving. It doesn't say who we are conquering. Christ conquers for us. But if you're putting in another day of this eon, don't sell your effort short. That's called endurance. And you know what endurance is? It's not a pretty thing. It just means you keep on struggling. You keep on going another day and you wake up tomorrow thinking this may be the day. We are to have a constant expectation of this amazing event that humanity has not seen before. This was a secret. The Christian world knows it as the rapture. Rapture is a Blondie song. I hate that word rapture. It does not, in the Greek, it's harpazo. I want to look at this word, and I want to talk about being snatched, what it means. And the title of my talk, for the record, is Snatched Toward Christ. Snatched Toward Christ. You know that the body of Christ has a different destiny than the bride. And we talked, Clyde spoke eloquently about the two different callings. And you know, for years, I became a Christian 12 years before I became a believer. And I read Hal Lindsey back in my early days in the 80s, and I believed in the rapture. And everybody's going to go flying out. Anybody who, if you have a metal fish applique on your car, you're going to be snatched away. You're a member of his body. And there's going to be planes crashing and buses and all this. It's going to be a living nightmare for the poor people on earth. But we're going to be having a good time. But then I became a believer, and I came into a different teaching, what was called a kingdom teaching. And it was pointed out to me that and I couldn't deny this, in the book of Revelation, there are 144,000 who go through the day of indignation. And I was talked out of this event. That's during that era, people were asking, I wonder what Paul means here. It has to be all metaphorical. The clouds, the air, meet the Lord. This is the air. Wonder what he means. And when I began to learn to correctly cut the word of truth, when I saw the words in red, as we talked about on the radio, were for Israel, and this was a distinct message, then it became a very practical thing. I'll give you this in a nutshell, that the bride, Israel, is going to lead the nations on the earth. Revelation 5:10, Thou dost make them a kingdom and a priesthood for our God, and they shall be reigning on the earth, also known as the millennium. If you're going to make them reign on the earth, why take them to the heavens? It becomes a very practical thing. This is their operation. Now, Paul says that we are to be seated among the celestials, declaring his grace to beings we've never seen. So the snatching away takes us to our realm of ministry. It's simple practicality. There are people who will go through this day of indignation. But by the grace of God, we're of a different company. Our realm's not here and here. I'm an airplane that's going down. Imagine I board the plane this morning, and instead of taking off, it makes a left turn on the Interstate 71 or whatever. I would have been really disappointed. This is weird. I just remembered this. I have dreams that are a recurring dream. I just thought of this. No, not you. I don't dream of you. That's my recurring nightmare over there. I have a recurring dream that I'm in a jet. And it never leaves the ground, and it's actually, we're going past trees and telephone poles, and it's stopping at red lights, and it has a turn signal, and we're just lumbering along. What is this? What is this? And as I'm speaking, I realize that I am so frustrated in this vessel. And really, sometimes I think, boy, lucky Paul, he got to be snatched away to the third heaven. And see, I believe, the body of Christ completed, and he heard ineffable declarations that were not lawful for him to utter. Boy, that would be nice. Not really, because then he had to come back here. Think about it. He saw and heard where we are coming to, and then had to come back. I don't want that. I really don't. I don't want to see angels. I don't want to hear voices. I've told God, I'm coming through this place one time. One time. And whatever I have to go through, do it. I say that in faith to my God. Not in my own human strength. But you lay yourself out. You say, whatever it takes to get me to that place, we're not coming back, God. We are not coming back here. Get it done. Do it. Whatever. Don't leave one thing undone. I don't want to have to stand before you and have one thing left over. Take care of it. Make me live to the last day I'm appointed to live, in the last minute. And that's our prayer to God, is to bring us to that place where we have no confidence in the flesh. What are we saved from? You know, there's a time coming upon this earth called the Day of Indignation, and boy, we're going to be getting to this on the radio You know, the book of Revelation becomes an amazing book when you start taking it literally. You'd be surprised that God says what he means and mean what he says and learn the rules of interpreting that book. Some amazing things come through. But we are saved from indignation. We're going to be saved from that day. Now, a lot of folks I talk to, they're upset because they think that this event that we're looking forward to, of being together with our Lord, being snatched away, it can't happen unless certain world events take place. We know that Babylon is going to be rebuilt. You don't see much activity happening there. We do have a religious war going on, which is a huge sign that we are in the last days, when we see the Western religion moving on Islam. An aggressive Islamic religion is prophesied in Daniel chapter 7. And so you see exciting times. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says that Christ is our rescuer out of the coming indignation. Well, that sounds like we're going to be in it. Are we going to be in this? You've heard the arguments between the pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. When does this event happen? The word itself, harpazo, snatching away, it's not rapture. The concordant version calls it the snatching away. There's nothing in that word. It's a word about speed. There's nothing in it inherently that speaks of coming out of danger. We don't have to be in it at all. In fact, if you take the term saved from indignation from Romans 5:9, you're not necessarily directly in the indignation. For instance, if God told us that there was going to be an earthquake scheduled in San Francisco in the year 2025, he said, I want to save you from that. Move out of there now. We're still saved from indignation, but you don't get the sense that you have to be in it to be rescued from it. Folks, there is no time peg for this event. God's take his body with, God's going to come, Christ himself is going to return, and with now with Israel, there are pegs, there are things to look for. Jesus said, when you see this, know this, and when you see this, know that this is near, and when this happens. But for this event, we have no time peg. It can happen any time, and as I said, or started to say before I got sidetracked, Paul expected it his whole life, and we're supposed to wake up expecting this. It's not escapism. Now, one of the preachers I used to listen to, his name was Ray Prenzing. And great guy, love the man. I owe him a lot. He taught me a lot about God through the 80s. But he had this thing against the rapture because, for one thing, it was a knee-jerk reaction against the ridiculous Christian teaching. But for another thing, he saw these 144,000 and says, well, we're going through the day of indignation. That's the way he would talk if you ever heard Ray Prenzing. Through the day of indignation. And He had this thing where we were escapists. If you want to leave this earth, you're an escapist. We are not teaching escapism. It's escapism. And it was, well, we got to gut through. Well, I just shared with you that I want to gut through as well. Like I say, I don't want to leave anything undone. But I also look forward to getting the heck out of here. And it's not escapism. Now, I'm going to show you something really great in the nature of this word, harpazo, this snatch. I love the concordant version. It goes to the Greek word harpazo. The Greek word harpazo means, you ready for this? Snatch. And the concordant version translates it, you ready for this? It's really wild.
Fish.
Snatch. Snatch away to snatch. I'm going to look at examples of this in the script. Where did they get rapture? Can you tell me that? Where did they get that word? I don't know. Any ideas while I'm turning, going to page 2? No? Oh, yeah. What do you do when you want to know a meaning of a word? You look it up in other places where it occurs. The verse I opened with, 1 Thessalonians 4, we the living surviving to the presence, we will be snatched away together with him. Snatched away. You look other places in the scriptures where that word occurs, and you get the flavor, you get the color of it, and you bring it back to the passage you're not so sure of, and you get a clue. John 6, verse 15. Jesus then, knowing that they are about to come and snatch him, that they should be making him king, retires again into the mountains by himself alone. Now, the people were zealous. They were just fed. There's no danger here. There's no imminence. There's no hurry up, get him out of there. They want to snatch him and make him king. And in fact, the whole context is Verse 12, now as they are filled, they're in the mountainside, and he's feeding them on the mount with the fish and the bread. As they are filled and satisfied, they want to snatch him and make them king. And one of the things that is inherent in this word is the desire of the snatcher. We have two parties, the snatcher and the snatchee. In this context, our Lord is the snatchee. They wanted to bring him and make him king. Acts chapter 8, verse 34 reads this way. Now, this is when Philip is you remember Philip, the eunuch is reading Isaiah in the chariot, and Philip says, I beseech you, the eunuch says to Philip, I beseech you, concerning whom is the prophet saying this, concerning himself or concerning some different person? Now, Philip, opening his mouth and beginning from the scripture, evangelizes to him Jesus. Now, as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch is saying, lo, water. Lo is, I guess, the old-fashioned day of yo. I always thought, yo, water. Of course, it's lo, water, but I think the Zender version would say, yo, water. If I was going to write a living Bible, I'd have yo there instead. But what is preventing me from being baptized? He orders a chariot to stop, and they baptize him. They stepped out, and then, verse 39, the Lord snatches Philip, and the eunuch did not perceive him any longer. And Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he brought the evangel. Philip was snatched away. I think he literally disappeared. And he was found in Azotus. Now that's the way you travel, right? That's pretty efficient. No wheels dragging on the ground there. But the point is the height of evangelism, the height of some good thing happening, the Lord says, I need you over here, and the Lord snatches Philip and takes him somewhere else. Harpazo, same word. This is the same thing that's going to happen to us. And since it's going to happen to us, let's find out what it means. Let's find out what's involved. That's why I'm doing this. We're looking at other places in the scripture this word's used to give us some insight into what we're about to experience, perhaps before this conference is over. Because if the Apostle Paul thought that it was going to happen in his lifetime until he finds himself in Rome with the, you know, guy with the ugly dude with a hatchet or whatever, and if Mr. A. Enoch, who knew more about the scriptures than any man alive at his day, had himself wheeled out at the age of 90, wheeled out onto his porch in California every day to await his Savior. This wasn't a metaphorical thing for this man of God. It wasn't a metaphor, it wasn't a story, it wasn't a parable. His Lord was going to return in the clouds, and he was going to be snatched away together with him in the air. And so in Acts 8, we see Philip snatched toward a purpose. And it's God doing it. Now, 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 1 through 14. Paul, this is the Paul snatching away verse. If boasting must be, though it is not expedient, indeed, yet I shall also be coming to apparitions and revelations of the Lord. I'm acquainted with a man in Christ. Couldn't even talk about himself in the first person. So amazed was he about this event. 14 years before this, whether in a body, I'm not aware. Outside of a body, I'm not aware. God is aware. Such a one was snatched to the third heaven. And in verse 4, snatched away into paradise. And here's ineffable declarations, which is not allowed a man to speak. This was not escapism. This was toward-ism. Now look at these things we have in common here so far. When our Lord was feeding the 5,000, they wanted to take him and they snatched him and bring him toward them to make him king. Our Lord brought Philip out of the presence of the Ethiopian eunuch because he wanted him to teach the evangel on Azotus. Needed him over here, I'm going to snatch you away and take you there. Paul, God says to Our Lord says to Paul, I want to show... This brings me to another thing. Paul went to the third heaven and saw these things, and he was snatched away. Our Lord is zealous to show us his house. What do you want to do when you have a new thing? When you have a beautiful home, you just had it decorated, it's brand new, and you have a home warming party or whatever it is you have, and you can't wait for people to come see it. You just can't wait for them. Then you want to show them the bathroom, you want to show them the living room, the dining room. Whoa, does our Lord have something to show us? And He is longing for His, He wants to see us more than we want to see Him. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ooh, boy. But He wants to see us. And He has something to show us. And when we begin to see it, we're going to say, oh my. As we are suddenly not subject to gravity anymore, which is another strange dream I have, is I'm rising toward the ceiling, but my shoulders keep bumping on the ceiling. And I can't go. I'm looking down, but I can't go any farther. It's such a weird thing to, I suppose, if you're an astronaut, to experience weightlessness for the first time. We are coming to a time when we're not going to be experiencing gravity, and we're going to be stunned. That's going to stun us. We're like, and then the dead will be rising first. We'll look over, and there will be myriads. And we will be, this is amazing. And our Lord, you haven't seen anything yet. And we begin to rise. And the reason the clouds are here, nephos, clouds, they're literal clouds, is because it's going to hide this event from the citizens of the earth. Do you think everybody with a fish on their car is a member of the body of Christ? It's a very, very, Paul is a secret to most people. You folks tonight are members of an exclusive club. And it's by no design of yours. You were chosen before the disruption of the world to hear a message that began in sometime in the year 30, whatever. There was one person who became the first member of the body of Christ was the Apostle Paul, and he passed that on, and we're down through the ages. We're part of this select company, are not many of us. Did you know that 5,000 people come up missing every day in this country? Do you know anything about them? I'm not sure there's 5,000 members in the body of Christ who are alive. There might be millions who are dead, all through the dead, but who are going to be surviving, who are hearing this message. There are few. And the clouds are going to hide this event from view. Nobody's going to know what happened. It sounds crazy to be talking about this as a literal event. It seems like science fiction. But everything has a purpose. Everything is practical. The clouds, the air. Why is he statues in the air? Why is it? Well, of course the air. Because Satan's jurisdiction is the air. Isn't there a scripture that says he's the God of the air? We're going to be removed in his territory. It's like almost a snubbing. It's like you're not going to stop this. It's in his very territory. We're snatched away. And the clouds cover it from the view of earth. And 10 years after this event takes place, the Christian world will still be waiting for it. I read an amazing sentence in Mr. Knox's book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. It said, the snatching away will in no way be the end of Christianity. Whoa, think about the implications of that statement. John 10. This is a really illustrative passage. It wouldn't seem to be at first blush here. You think, well, this isn't about us, this isn't about people. But remember, we want to look at this word, harpazo. And so we go to John 10. Verse 11 and 12. I am the shepherd ideal, our Lord speaking. The ideal shepherd is laying down his soul for the sake of the sheep. Yet the hireling, not also being a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, is beholding the wolf coming, and is leaving the sheep and fleeing. And the wolf is snatching them, and is scattering the sheep. Well, Mark, what does that have to do with anything? It's a wolf snatching a sheep. Yes, it's a wolf snatching a sheep. And what do we see here? The hunger of the wolf. Here's another example where the snatching is the desire of the snatcher. The wolf sees the sheep and it's ravenous. It wants the sheep. And nothing is going to stop it from getting the sheep. And as soon as the shepherd's gone, it snatches it. And you've seen wild animals take their prey. Have you seen the Discovery Channel or whatever? A lion chasing down a zebra or a gazelle. It comes in and it snatches it. Now, Take that word, take that same emotion, take that same desire, take that same hunger. And that is what I'm telling you is the Lord's hunger for us. This isn't escapism, it's toward-ism. This isn't about our desire, as strong as your desire is. This is the hunger. Christ is hungry like the wolf for you. He desires us. And He can't wait for this event. We look up and say, oh God, how long, how long, how long? And our Lord Himself, how long, how long, how long? He's meeting us. It's not that He's impassive up there, watching some giant celestial clock. Let me know when it's time. He's on the edge of His seat, waiting. He can't wait. He's hungry like the wolf. He snatches its prey. Psalms 132:13, for Yahweh has chosen Zion, He yearns for it as His dwelling place. He yearns for Zion. That's not our calling, but that tells you something. And this is speaking of Israel, and that is not even as intimate as a relationship as we have. He longs for Zion. Now listen to this. Israel is the bride of the Lamb, the bride. How intimate can you get? Husbands, love your wives. That's pretty intimate. But you have two. You have a groom and the bride. And God portrayed Himself as the groom, and Israel was His bride. And boy, how can you get closer than that relationship? Here's how. We're members of His body. That's a closer relationship. And if He yearns for Zion, how much more does He yearn for the members of His body? Amazing passage. Job 14, verse 14. If a master dies, shall he live again? All the days of my enlistment, I shall wait until my relief comes. That, this is Job speaking. All the days of my enlistment. You sometimes feel you've been enlisted in a war you didn't volunteer for? I didn't volunteer for these. I'm enlisted. And all the days of my enlistment, I shall wait until my relief comes. You shall call, and I shall answer you. You shall long for the work of your hands. You are the work of His hands. And He longs for the work of His hands. And He is not a passive God, actively seeking, desiring, and wanting the reunion so that He can show you a dwelling place, a literal dwelling place, the likes of which in your wildest dreams you cannot imagine. And thank God today that you've never seen it. God works hard every day to keep the glory from your gaze. That's why the weather forecast, at least in my neck of the woods during the winter, 90% chance of overcast, 100% chance of gloom, 150% chance of fog. God works hard to veil where we are going. And you think it's going to be an amazing miracle when we're changed? No. You know what the miracle is that God keeps this from happening every day. He works hard to keep this from happening. He wants it to happen. The glory surrounds it. We're in this little globe surrounded by fog. We can't even see the sun most of the days. You have to take off on Continental Flight 2127 to Chicago to see the sun some days. God veils His glory constantly. He's working hard to keep this from happening. And all you have to do is lift the lid and it's going to happen. It's like one of those jack-in-the-box things. You hold it down, you hold it down, only it's some crazy spring. It's just, He's not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. You know, He's not working hard to make it happen. He's working hard to keep it from happening. It takes a lot of energy to bring this much hidden glory, to hide that much glory. To hide that much glory, it takes a lot of energy. He's going to long for the work of His hands. In conclusion, we are not escaping from this earth as much as we are going toward God. The purpose of the snatching is for Him. Even if danger would be proximate, God is not panicking. I got to hurry up and get him out. No. Instead, He desires the work of His hands. And I'll close by saying that your desire to see Him pales. Nothing to be compared with His desire to see you. And may it happen before we lay our heads down on the bed tonight. Amen.